Hello and welcome to Destiny, an enlarging series of messages all about connecting with and walking in the fullness of who God's destined you to be here at Empower Church.
It's an inspiring thing to see somebody fully engaged in a moment, completely focused, distractions removed, 100% present in a feat that shows who they are, how they've trained, and what they're called to do. It's a moment in time that others gladly pay money to behold, whether it be the ballet dancers in full flight, or the muso in the midst of their guitar solo, or the athlete who stretches beyond their best to break a previous record. Artists and athletes engaged in a moment, fully alive, fully awake, fully alert. Those images up on the screen there give us a picture of those who are lit up by public spotlight, where the crowds cheer and the accolades of achievement are rewarded with notoriety. And understandably, we can think, good on them, but what about the rest of us? What about those of us that perhaps aren't the next headliner act at the Who's Who Music Festival? What about those of us that weren't born for the stage? What about those of us who will never be in the public eye like that? And we can mistakenly begin to classify certain people as special and ourselves perhaps as not. And in doing so, we can subsequently think that a day in our life doesn't matter as much as a day in somebody else's. That a day lived less than our best doesn't really matter, because after all, it's not a day on the stage. It's not a day that anyone really sees. And we can come to the conclusion that it's acceptable for us to be less engaged in our lives than the people in these photos, because after all, nobody sees our lack of engagement anyway. But nothing could be further from the truth. Human reason and heaven's revelation definitely come to blows and disagree sharply on that point, because here's what the scriptures say. You, God, have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. God promises in Joshua 1 verse 5 that he will be with us and that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Psalm 46 1, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. And then the promise of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that he made to his disciples before his ascension to Father God in heaven, 40 days after rising from the grave, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Can we see this morning that Scripture paints a picture of a different worldview, a kingdom worldview, one in which everything that we do is done before the audience of God. Every moment of every day, we are either engaged or disengaged in the full view of the eternal King. And though our life performance may not necessarily attract the applause of humanity, it can absolutely every day attract the applause of heaven. And I'm convinced, and Scripture declares it, that it's possible to live our lives in such a way that it actually delights the heart of God. Check this out, Zephaniah 3:17, for the Lord your God is living among you, and he will take delight in you with gladness. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. We can cause God to sing joyful songs. We were singing some joyful songs this morning. But how incredible that that whole picture there can be flipped around and he can actually be rejoicing over us as we engage with this life. Is this blowing anybody else away this morning? Think about this. how many less sin issues would we have if we were more conscious of the audience of heaven in our lives? How much more careful would we be in whispered conversation if we were conscious that God heard every word? How much more present and engaged would we be in every moment of every day if we understood that it was possible to attract the applause of heaven, the joyful singing, the delighted rejoicing of God Himself into that moment? All that we are, all that we do, every moment, every thought, every word takes place in the full view of God, which means that we have the opportunity to attract His applause and pleasure into our everyday moments. Sure, it's a thing of beauty when those performers engage with and light up the stage, but don't believe for a moment that anything less is possible for you. In fact, we as Christians have an even more profound audience because we can live in such a way that thrills heaven. That is our destiny. We are called to engage. To engage with the life that God has set before us. To engage with those that God has called us to love. To engage with the destiny story that He has pre-written for us. And thankfully, this engagement is not something that's just a matter of discipline. That it's me having to flog myself to be more and more active in my performance. Rather, it's a matter of receiving, cultivating, and fanning into flame divine enthusiasm. The truth is this, Christians should be the most enthusiastic people on the planet. And let me tell you why. Because the word enthusiasm, which we understand to be intense and eager enjoyment, interest, or approval, is actually derived from an ancient archaic word which described religious fervor supposedly resulting directly from divine inspiration, typically involving speaking in tongues and wild, uncoordinated movements of the body. Sounds like a Pentecostal church. Enthusiasm. The original source of the word is a Christian concept where God, with His empowering grace, comes upon a person, fills them with His Spirit, and inspires them to wildly and freely come alive in passion and zeal. Enthusiasm, in theos, God and His Spirit within us. In other words, we don't just engage with this life every day out of a panicked sense of performance and striving. Flip, pastor says that God sees everything, so I better get my butt into gear. Where I'm always needing to perform, always working, always paranoid about whether I'm pleasing Him or not. No, instead, what I'm describing and what Scripture promises is that we can wait on God and receive a divine download of His Holy Spirit, which the Bible says gives us power to be His witnesses. And then that divine enthusiasm, entheosasm, that zeal and passion and fervor and excitement concerning the things of God, we then use to engage with the various relationships and responsibilities of our lives in such a way that it causes Him to rejoice over us with singing. Who knows that that sounds like a pretty cool destiny? That is what we are all about here at Empower Church. By name and by nature, we desire to be a people empowered by the Spirit of God. For those of you that weren't here for our previous introductory message on this new series, we talked about how we believe, and Scripture makes clear, that God has a plan for our lives, a destiny. He has in mind a full and powerful life in Christ, one pre-planned by Father God before we were even born, a life in which we live our adventure story, overcome the enemy, score big for the kingdom, and then go home to heaven victorious. That's God's desire, His plan for our lives. And we started this Destiny series with an acronym with the letter D in our first message, saying that D is for divine design, desire, and ultimately a heavenly destination. If you missed that, I'd encourage you to get that from our Podomatic podcast. But this week, as you may have already guessed, we're moving on to the second letter, which is E is for enthusiastic engagement. Entheostically engaging, divinely fueled by the power of God's Spirit to engage with the relationships and responsibilities that the Lord has put before us in such a way that our life then becomes a platform upon which we can work and worship for the pleasure of God and the applause of heaven. So, what are these areas? We could understandably ask this morning, what is it that God desires for us to enthusiastically engage with? What are the priority areas He wants us to focus on and light up for His glory? We're going to look at three of them this morning and three next week, each vital destiny areas, key relationships and responsibilities with which we are to enthusiastically engage by the power of His Spirit. And they are Himself, our Lord, our local church, our life, our loves, and by that I mean our family and friends, the lost, and our legacy. That's what we're covering this week and next week. So let's jump right in. First of all, our Lord. God desires for us to enthusiastically engage with Himself. I'm sure we're familiar with the scriptures. What is the first command? To love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Pastor Amber's already said it this morning. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. But how cool is God? How amazing is God? How generous is God that He doesn't just leave it to our own devices for us to find Him? He provided His Son Jesus to make a way through Calvary, and then He provides His Holy Spirit to enthuse us, to entheos us towards Himself. It's incredible. Here at Empowered Church, we unapologetically, passionately prioritize enthusiastic engagement with God. We do not want our moments of corporate praise and worship, like what we did this morning, to just pass by as a thing that we go through the motions of and look at our watch and get distracted and start thinking about the Sunday roast. No, we want to be enthusiastically engaged with that moment of loving God and making that time count. Touching heaven and bringing the presence of God into our midst for the sake of this city. And I got to say, recently, I'm sure you would have noticed that for the last season, I've not just been the pastor of this house, I've also been the worship leader for a little while. I'm thrilled to have Andrew back in the saddle this morning, worship leading. He's so much better than I am. Can we give him honor and thank him? Amazing. But you would have observed that since January, I've been leading worship on Sundays, and I want to commend you, precious church family, in the midst of the changes that we've made to our sound and our songs. You have been so responsive. You have been so passionate. You have been so easy to lead and gracious with the changes. And I want to thank you and honor you for coming on that journey with us. It's been a season of enthusiastically engaging with our God in worship and moving forward in Jesus' name, because we are never going to compromise on our sound or on our spirit, no matter what hell throws against us in Jesus' mighty name. We win. And we're coming through. And I want to thank you for these months of enthusiastic engagement with the Lord. Amen? Let's give Him praise. But I also want to encourage us this morning that this practice is not just restricted to Sunday morning worship services, but rather ought to be a lifestyle that we cultivate habitually every moment of every day. Brother Lawrence, a Catholic layman who lived from 1610 to 1691, served in a monastery kitchen as a cook and as a sandal worker later in his life. And he wrote about how throughout the last four decades of his life, he cultivated a daily, hourly, minute-by-minute practice of being in the presence of God. of enthusiastically engaging with the Lord all day, not just in times of focused prayer, but in the midst of service and busy kitchen duties. He worked on cultivating constant communion with the Lord. And here's what he said. I beheld him in my heart as my Father, as my God. I worshipped him the oftenest I could, keeping my mind in his holy presence and recalling it as often as I found it wandering from him. I made this my business, not only at the appointed times of prayer, but all the time, every hour, every minute, even in the height of my work, I drove from my mind everything that interrupted my thoughts of God. Though I have done it very imperfectly, I have found great advantages by it. When we are faithful to keep ourselves in his holy presence and set him always before us, this hinders our offending him and doing anything that may displease him. It also begets in us a holy freedom, and if I may so speak, a familiarity with God, where when we ask, he supplies the graces we need. Over time, by often repeating these acts, they became habitual, and the presence of God became quite natural to us. I make it my priority to persevere in his holy presence, where I maintain a simple attention and a fond regard for God. Or to put it another way, it is an habitual, silent, and private conversation of the soul with God. This gives me much joy and contentment. In short, I am sure beyond all doubt that my soul has been with God above these past 30 years. Were I a preacher, I would above all other things preach the practice of the presence of God. Were I a director or a leader, I would advise all the world to do it. So necessary do I think it, and so easy too. Ah, knew we but the wants we have of the grace and assistance of God, we would never lose sight of him, not for a moment. Please keep my recommendation in mind that you think of God often, by day, by night, in your business, and even in your diversions. He is always near you and with you. Leave him not alone. You would think it rude to leave a friend alone who came to visit you. Why then must God be neglected? Do not forget him, but think on him often. Adore him continually. Live and die with him. This is the glorious work of a Christian. In a word, this is our profession. I would add, this is our destiny. We were designed to enthusiastically engage with him. If this became a viral practice in our society, do you think it would perhaps clean up some of our anxiety issues? Do you think it would declutter some of the noise in our heads and some of the mess in our hearts? Do you think it would help to steer us towards greater godliness, peace, and generosity as a community? I would suggest so, and so does Scripture, Colossians 3. Since then, you, believers, have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Where Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. How good is that? So much of our life and our destiny comes down to keeping the main thing the main thing. And the main thing is that we would be enthusiastically engaging with our Lord, because that is the most important relationship we have and the one that will matter most eternally. Secondly, we are to enthusiastically engage with our local church. I want to bring us some encouragement today. I'm not overstating it when I say that this is the second most important thing in life to enthusiastically engage with: God's house, the local church. We will quite simply, individually, not fulfill our destiny separated from his house. When we wander from the flock of God, when we uproot ourselves from being planted in the house, it affects every other area of our lives, because shallow roots produce bitter fruits. I'm preaching a word today to tear down some arguments that have been let loose by hell in our society this morning. There is nothing going on planet Earth today that is more important than the message, ministry, and multiplication of local churches. It doesn't matter what the news headlines read, what the media is choosing to give attention and focus on. From heaven's perspective, there is nothing more important going on the planet than the kingdom advancement that God desires through his house. And our individual destinies are absolutely connected to how enthusiastically we engage with this divine strategy that he has. Now, why can I say that so confidently this morning? It's not that I'm being self-seeking as a pastor. It's that I'm trying to be biblical and trying to encourage us to counter the arguments of this world, the reason of humanity. Just look at these facts for a moment. What did Jesus leave behind after his ascension? A local church. Upon whom was his spirit poured out? The local church. What is the book of Acts about? What took place in the early local churches? To whom is the entire New Testament addressed? Either local churches, Romans, Philippians, Colossians, Hebrews, or leaders of local churches, Titus, 1 and 2 Timothy, Jude, etc. To whom is the last book of the Bible addressed, the book of Revelation, which John wrote? What was it that Jesus was focused on, and who was it that he was talking to through that? Here's a clue. To the church of Laodicea, right. To the church of Philadelphia, right. To the church of Ephesus, right. It's about local churches. To them that have ears, let them hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Resurrected, fire in his eyes, sword in his hand, soon returning King Jesus starts and ends the entire apocalyptic vision of that last book of the Bible with personalized encouragement towards local churches. Still not convinced? Ephesians 1, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power to us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Where is God's power and focus directed? That same power that rose Christ from the dead, is it on world peace? Is it on global warming? Is it on current news headlines? No, the most important thing that he is enthusiastically engaging with is his church. So what on earth are we doing treating our church family so casually? Can I suggest to us that we are a local expression of the body of Christ, the passion of Christ, the plan of Christ for Cronulla? Can I suggest that if we approach this vision with a sense of ownership, with a sense of I'm sold out for the cause, with a sense of how can I serve, how can I pray, how can I strengthen this family, how can I add my time, talent, and treasure to the family of faith, we'll find ourselves enthusiastically engaging with Christ's highest priority, and subsequently we will grow and become even more than we ever dreamt possible because our destiny is connected to the collective destiny of his house, where every joint supplies and everyone is vital, because that's God's plan for kingdom advancement and the salvation of souls through the multiplication of local churches. And finally this morning, our life is that which we need to enthusiastically engage with. Our life, your life. But let's be real this morning. When it comes to the brass tacks of what life can feel like, yes, there is absolutely glorious moments. But if we're honest, a whole lot of life is the everyday and less than glamorous. It's the mundane and the routine. It's the scrubbing of the toilet and making of the school sandwiches, hopefully not in that order. And if so, with washing hands in between, recommended. It's navigating traffic and working a job that we don't necessarily love. It's coming home to the kids who are on each other's nerves and getting the phone call from that relative that, no matter what you do, seems to find you perpetually disappointing. And in the midst of that, if we're honest, we can be tempted to start wishing that our life was different. If only my situation was different, then I could approach life with more enthusiastic engagement. I love the idea of destiny, Pastor, but I don't feel like I have the opportunity to live my destiny because I don't have the right bank balance right now. I don't have the right relationships. My job stinks. I'm frustrated with my situation, and so on. Can anybody identify with this? Honestly, I get it. I promise. I really do. I have personally prayed so many prayers about God changing my situation. But can I suggest to all of us today, myself included, that perhaps what we need is not so much a change in our life circumstance as much as we need a change in our attitude and approach to that circumstance. What if instead of resenting what's happening in my life, I renew my enthusiastic engagement towards my life, because biblically that seems to be the destiny key. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, concerning change of status, circumstance, life alteration. Nevertheless, each person should live as a believer in whatever situation the Lord has assigned to them. Just as God has called them. This is the rule I lay down in all the churches. In other words, we're not supposed to be overly concerned about changing our external situation as much as we're supposed to be concerned about our special assignment within that situation. Instead of running from or wishing away what we don't like circumstantially in our lives, it seems that the Lord would call us to instead get in the Holy Ghost and enthusiastically engage with what is right in front of us. In the Message translation, the verses say this: stay where you were when God called your name. Goes into some pretty controversial stuff here. Were you a slave? Slavery is no roadblock to obeying and believing. I don't mean you're stuck and can't leave. If you have a chance at freedom, go ahead and take it. I'm simply trying to point out that under your new master, you're going to experience a marvelous freedom you would have never dreamt of without a circumstance change. On the other hand, if you were free when Christ called you, you'll experience a delightful enslavement to God you would never have dreamt of. All of you, slave and free both, were once held hostage in a sinful society, then a huge sum was paid out for your ransom. So please don't, out of old habit, slip back into being or doing what everyone else tells you. Friends, stay where you were called to be. God is there. Hold the high ground with Him at your side. How good is that? Jesus, help me to preach this morning. I just want my job to change. I just wish I looked different. I just wish I was related to different people. I just wish I had a different life. And all of that will just lead us to anger over the things that are beyond our control. But if instead I choose to take the presence and power of God with me into whatever circumstance of life I find myself, then instead I have vision instead of victimhood. I have hope instead of hopelessness. I have power even in what could have otherwise been a prison. The Apostle Paul is in prison and yet writes two-thirds of the New Testament because he wasn't prepared to let the prison get on the inside of him. Hallelujah. Listen to that verse again. Please don't, out of old habit, slip back into being or doing what everyone else tells you. Man, that is so relevant. When every billboard, every second Facebook post, every ad break, every media voice, every opinion over the airwaves is saying, you should look like this, you should have one of those, you should buy this, you should have this sort of money, you need to have these kinds of friends, you deserve better, you should be more. And it causes our life to start sliding into comparisons and complaining. Both of which are toxic temptations from hell, a ploy from the enemy to bring us out of gratitude and into grumbling. We can instead rise up in the Holy Spirit and say boldly, this is where I'm called to be, in this life, in this church, in these relationships, with this income, with this body, in this workplace. And suddenly we receive a fresh, enthusiastic engagement, and we can approach those otherwise ordinary circumstances with extraordinary gratitude and grace and tackle those changes as though we were on a special assignment from God Himself. Can we give Him praise in this house today? Thank you, Father. Then our life, no matter how dark or chaotic or flat or unexciting it might at first appear, that's actually just the canvas upon which you and God are about to paint. That's just the stage that you and the Holy Spirit are about to light up. That's just the backdrop to the breathtaking breakthrough that you are called to bring into that situation for the glory of God. Our destiny is found in enthusiastically engaging with the life that we've been given and bringing the Lord into that equation. Hallelujah. I hope that it's encouraging us to see that much of our destiny doesn't announce itself with fanfare and with angel choirs. No, it shows up in the everyday that is under our noses and is ultimately determined by whether we enthusiastically engage with what is before us or not. The question for each of us this morning is, are we ready to enter into a new and powerful measure of the baptism of the Holy Spirit in our lives, the entheos Holy Spirit of God, so that we can more enthusiastically engage with our Lord, with our local church, and with our everyday life? I mentioned earlier about Brother Lawrence, a simple man, unmarried, uneducated, poor by trade, a cook and sandal worker, certainly not the athlete or rock star or dancer that we mentioned at the start of this sermon. And yet this simple man who sought no accolades, who sought no attention for himself, was so enthusiastically engaged with his Lord, with his local church, and with his life that he was interviewed 4 times in the last 10 years of his life. And the records of those interviews, along with 14 letters that he'd written to friends about practicing the presence of God, were compiled into a book of the same title. And hundreds of years later, his example is still just as relevant. His message is just as timely. His lifestyle is just as attractive and inspiring to us as it was to the peers in his day. Could the same be said of us, a cook and a sandal worker? Could we, through enthusiastically engaging with our Lord, our local church, and our life, live in such a way that the fulfillment of our destiny becomes a thing of beauty worthy of God singing over us? I believe that we can receive a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I believe that we can receive the power of heaven. I believe that God desires to quicken our mortal bodies, to entheos us today, to breathe on us with Holy Spirit power in order to blow the cobwebs out and refresh and revive us towards our destiny in this house this morning. If you believe it this morning, can I hear you say amen? Can we pray in this place?
Thanks for joining us. For more information about who we are, you can connect with us on Facebook. Or if you're in the area and interested in joining us for one of our worship services, we would love to welcome you. 10 a.m. Sundays at Cronulla Central.